Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson, our podcast where we help you get your brain around these issues so that you can understand them, so that you can converse with friends and family, colleagues about these important issues, because our constitutional republic is something worth saving. One of my great guests on these podcasts is Dr. Jill Vecchio. She is a radiologist. She's in the business of helping save women's lives, but she's also a healthcare policy expert. She's one of the few people in America that read the PPACA, the Unaffordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And today we're going to be talking about the Declaration of Independence, which Dr. Jill and I actually went through that on the radio when we first were working together. And Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Kim. You know, this is so timely because Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tweeted, it's on Telegram, but, I guess it was on Twitter as well, because he's one of the few that hasn't been booted off yet. I think he is getting booted off. Anyway, he tweeted out pictures of the Declaration of Independence and said, required reading material. And then he did another one with the Constitution that says required reading material. So now that we have our requirement, I think it was pretty timely for us to decide to do this before his tweet.
Well, it'll be very helpful for people as they're doing that homework then.
Well, and it's interesting because you had mentioned before that one of the wonderful things we got from President Trump was a lesson in civics. Even the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just continue that. If we are truly going to take back our country and govern it of the people, by the people, for the people, then these are things we have to know. Every single person needs to know this, or you're not going to do your job, and we're not going to fix the problems, and we're going to end up in a very, very bad place.
Okay, Jill, let's just talk just a little bit about this. When we talk about taking back our country, Joe Biden's inaugural speech, he talked about unity, but it's very difficult to have unity on competing ideologies. And when you look at the ideology that Joe Biden is putting forth, it's one of an oligarchy, really, where it's corporatism and big government, big business. They all like each other, and where they basically are controlling everything. And then the competing ideology is that we, the people, govern ourselves. And those two things, it's difficult to unite those two things. And when you say take back our country, what it means to me, Jill, is that we are going to give the government back to the people, we the people, which is how it was founded. So that's what it means to me. What does it mean to you, Jill?
Well, exactly the same thing. When Biden talks about unity, anybody in the elite structure, remember, and I encourage everybody to kind of listen to our previous podcasts, the last three, which is episode 58, 60, and 61, where we kind of lead up to this point of there is a group of elites that really wants to keep us not talking nicely to each other, not really collaborating with one another, because that's a threat to their power structure, which is the opposite of what our founders envisioned and sought to create. When those people, when the elites talk to us about unity, what they mean is homogeneity. What they mean is we want to tell you what you will think, and you will all think the same thing. And you're not going to bother us. You're just going to sit in your little corner and be unified in your ignorance and smothered uniformly in propaganda. That's what, when they say unity, they mean uniformly suppressed, in my opinion. And what our founders envisioned is the opposite, the exact opposite of what we have now. We have political elites that no longer believe that, no longer care that they were sent there to represent us. You go to Washington, and those people, they turn their nose up at the average person. Unless you write them a check, you're not going to get in to see them, or you're not going to have a voice. They believe that they are royalty. They are absolutely aristocratic royalty, and how dare you try to tell me what to do?
But Jill, it's not just in Washington. You can see this by people that get on, HOAs. You can see that little inner tyrant come out, or on city councils, or county commissioners, right. or down at the state house. And it's in some ways it's on a different scale, but it's kind of the same thing. We know best how you should live your life. And I have, there's politicians on both sides of the aisle. When they say that they have decided to run for office because they want to make a difference, I'm like, oh, fasten your seatbelt, because they're going to be wanting to control your life.
Yes. They, for some reason, when someone is too many people, not everyone, when way too many people are elected into office, all of a sudden they believe that whatever, since they got elected, whatever their personal agenda is why they were elected. You know, I'm elected, so now I get to do what I personally believe, not what represents my constituents. It's what I personally believe to be done.
And
where did you get off on that? And people don't pay attention, let's face it. Most of the time people elect somebody because they like the way they look or they recognize a name on a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going on for way too long. And then they just keep recognizing that. It's all name recognition so much. So they recognize that name the next time it's time to vote. Oh, yeah, I think I've seen a billboard of him. I'll vote for them. He looked okay to me. Yeah. I'll vote for him. They don't do any research. They don't follow up. They don't hold anyone accountable.
Well, the other thing about, I want to make a point on this, though, is that people that are elected into office, one of the first things that they're supposed to do is make sure that they uphold the vision of the Declaration that all men are created equal. So that means that everybody should be equal under the law or the ordinance. When you hear the words like variance, what that means is people are treated unequally by government.
Mm-hmm.
With these rights given by God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That is the bedrock. And no matter whether it's a city ordinance or an HOA recommendation or whatever it is, it has to pass the muster of this vision of the Declaration and the Constitution. Because if it doesn't, then it's not upholding this American idea. So we heard Joe Biden in his inaugural address, he talked about democracy, democracy, democracy. I think he mentioned the Constitution once, and I think he maybe mentioned republic once, but we are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. The founders knew that a democracy would devolve into mob rule. So it's not just that when somebody gets elected that they're supposed to do what their constituents want them to do. It has to make sure that what they want them to do, that the mob isn't asking them to do something that goes against the vision of the Declaration.
That is supported by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that definitely has been the first thing they do is destroy the Constitution. They take an oath to support it. People who don't believe in the Constitution are so hypocritical that they stand there and take an oath to the Constitution when we all know, when they practically ran on a platform of defaming the Constitution, hating the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it boggles my mind that they aren't immediately thrown out of office. It's frustrating. But I want to just give one little background comment and then go ahead and read the very first two paragraphs, or let's say whatever, of the Declaration, because, you know, people hear the first part, or they don't often hear the very first paragraph. They hear a couple of sentences of the second one, but so much of it needs to be emphasized differently, I think. First of all, understand that the colonies in the U.S., primarily a lot of Brits, not necessarily Dutch and Scots and all different kinds of people from all over, but the British crown, you know, there were a British colony, and therefore a lot of the people there were familiar, came from Britain, were familiar with the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta was written in 1215. Our Constitution is heavily based on the Magna Carta, heavily based. The reason, and that was under King John, you know, after Richard the Lionheart and King John, and if you remember the tales of Robin Hood, that was the evil King John that was trying to take over Richard, you know, just to put it in kind of a cultural context. The Parliament made King John sign this Magna Carta in 1215 because he was being such a tyrant. That gave the British people a lot of rights, and part of what the Magna Carta established was that is different from our Constitution, they really emphasize property rights. And our Constitution doesn't spell out property rights, but we'll get to that later. So the Declaration, did you have a comment before I start reading this?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Declaration of Independence, Second Continental Congress, July 4, 1776. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes to which impel them to the separation. In other words, since we want to get rid of England, we're going to tell you why, because you deserve to know why we're breaking up with you.
Just good manners.
Yes, just good manners. It's a tough conversation to have sometimes on a personal level, but, you know, we can write this out. So they're breaking up with England. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. In the Federalist Papers, there's a great comment that said, if men were angels, there would be no need for government. I always love that one. So to continue, prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. That is one of the most important sentences, I believe, in the Declaration. We'll put up with a lot. And the problem is, we get lazy and we kind of go, this is the frog in the boiling pot. You turn up the water slowly, and the frog just lounges around in his hot tub until it's too late when he realizes that he's cooking. And that's where we are right now. We have been cooked. And now we're just starting to wake up. So we suffer through a lot of ills before we have the guts or feel like this is the last straw. And I feel like this election was the last straw.
Well, and Biden, on his first day in office, did 17 executive orders. So they are turning up the heat on everyday American people, opening up the borders, which will make everyday people less safe, and then instituting energy policies that's going to make it more expensive for us to turn our lights and to heat our homes and to drive our cars right off the bat. And I think a lot of people are paying attention, Jill.
Exactly. So let's continue. That's a good lead into what the next part. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such governments and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. and then they go on to go through a bunch of reasons why they separated. And we went through the reasons before one by one, and we could put all their reasons into almost all of them, because some of them were just so, you know, historically dated. But many of them we can apply to today. And understand another analogy, because in the last three we've been leading up to this point. And in the last episode, we talked about Hunger Games and how Hunger Games was a central capital surrounded by districts, that each district supplied some need to the capital because a capital could never provide for its own means, and they were so excessive in their consumption and behavior that they constantly had to have, you know, things brought in for them, leaving the districts to starve in many cases. The British Empire was doing the same thing. Britain was a small country, so they could only provide a certain level of comfort for themselves with the resources that they had. So they kind of metastasized and formed an empire, and they were really good at acquiring. They didn't acquire places that didn't serve any purpose to them. They only acquired places that had, like India, that were rich in resources and spices and things that they loved and teas and all this. And then the United States had cotton and tobacco were huge. I think linen was also, I think linen was probably a really big export because they wore a ton of linen. So we provided a lot for England, plus security around the world from all the enemies who may attack them. So we were one of the districts in the British Empire form of Hunger Games.
Okay.
Right? When we stopped getting, when we started to feel that we weren't getting anything for our membership in this empire, and we were constantly being bled and robbed and taxed, and never had a say in anything, then it was time to separate. Time to reevaluate your government.
Well, and it was a real process. It didn't just happen overnight. It was over a period of years. There was the Stamp Act and the Intolerable Acts, and they continued to, they wanted to get these things right with King George, and would send letters and try to get this figured out, and it just continued on till they finally got to this point of the Declaration of Independence.
Right. And at the same time that this was happening, there was a movement called the Enlightenment. What do we have now? The Great Awakening, right? At the time, there's a movement called the Enlightenment, and this had a huge impact on France as well with the French Revolution. Thankfully, we did our revolution much better than the French did theirs. They ended up with Napoleon. They ended up with an emperor. And we ended up with a constitutional republic with much less bloodshed. The Age of Enlightenment were a series of writers and speakers who talked about God-given equality, God-given natural rights, natural law, and that thought, that philosophy really spread like crazy amongst educated people. And then we talked about this last podcast, that you made the comment there were so many different, so many printing presses. People were printing pamphlets and newspapers, little flyers all the time, spreading the word about things. And people read these. An unbelievable number of American colonists read Thomas Paine's Common Sense. I mean, now, shoot, you can't get them to read anything unless it's, you know, on a little two-paragraph something website.
And we have to change that. People have, yeah. You mentioned, I think you mentioned that we've gotten lazy, or maybe I was just thinking it as you were talking.
No, we have. I probably did.
But we have a responsibility I think we were kind of fat and happy. Things were going good. We had all kinds of different opportunities and hadn't realized that underneath the surface, there was this kind of elitism, this oligarchy that was getting into place. And now the veil is off and we see, I mean, honestly, we have corporations that are doing corporate tyranny by banning people if they don't like their political ideology. It is mind-boggling. It is totally against the Constitution. I know we have the whole free market question on that, but when you see corporations that are using, banding together to stamp out competition, that's not the American idea either, Jill. And it's important that people start to pay attention and read what's going on.
Well, and I kind of love what's happened with Twitter, that the free market did take hold. The people left Twitter. People are closing their Facebook accounts. Twitter and the outlets like Telegram and I think Gab and some of these other ones, they're expanding. Telegram has 500 million users now that really just happened in the last few weeks. They were nothing before, and now they're just blowing up. But a lot of these platforms and outlets are having a hard time keeping up. They've got to do all of this expansion just to keep up with the incredible instantaneous demand. And we've also got foreign countries that are scolding Twitter. I mean, they're backpedaling at this point. Their stock is down 15% for the year, which I find rewarding.
Right, because people are letting the free market work. I just talked with someone that said that there's a group trying to put together money for conservative tech startups to compete against what has been happening here. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be somewhat unsettling, but people are paying attention, and I think they're going to, as you just mentioned, people will suffer for a time, but finally, at some point in time, they say enough, and you probably want to take it from there then, huh, Jill?
Well, I would also take it further again, based on the last, remember who the real enemy is. It doesn't need to be a conservative outlet. It needs to be a free voice discussion. Reasonable discourse is what we want, because we want to bring all of us together. That's the only way this country will survive, with us not being at each other's throats. Get rid of a lot of these identity politics. Stop. You know, I wish we could stop using the term conservative. Conservative, liberal, Democrat, I mean, yes, there are identity groups with certain beliefs, and I get that. But to constantly have labels, how about just tell me what you believe and why you believe it, and then let's talk. Can we just sit and talk? Tell me what you believe, why you believe it, and where does this fit into the Constitution? How does this make for a better country? How does this preserve our individual rights, keep us governed fairly and righteously through our own laws that we've put forward? I mean, don't tell me that this is nice because it gives this group something that nobody else has. That's not constitutional. Now, you can do that on your own through charities, but don't put it into law, because it's not constitutional if it sets any one group above another. And we've got those laws all over the place. Congress thrives on that.
And when you give somebody something, what's the correlating effect, or what has to happen? It means that it has to be taken from somebody else.
Right. Right. So we can go through some of these complaints. There are just a few of them that I think maybe stand out.
Okay.
One of the first ones was, and these are complaints from the colonists against King George. And when you think about it, you can put it against, of the American citizens, against the political, and I would say against the political elites in our government, both sides of the aisle.
Yep.
Put the elites as a single group. It's them versus us. Remember who the real enemy is. and I'll say it the way the wording is, but we can make the analogy. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. What do we see? We have judges appointed by the political parties for specific political ends, for an agenda, especially the ones that were appointed by also Democrats, but certainly John Roberts is serving his purpose as globalist, as political elite, world elite. He's serving his purpose there for an agenda. Trump put in three justices that were self-proclaimed constitutionalists, and we have Alito.
Alito.
And Clarence Thomas is a wonderful originalist, and unfortunately we lost Scalia, who was like my hero. What we need are judges that adhere to our laws and the Constitution and not to a particular political agenda.
And our laws must pass the litmus test of the Constitution. Otherwise, they should not be a law. They have to be constitutional laws.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we need to start paying attention to these judges' rulings, who these judges are, and get them out of office. You can impeach a Supreme Court justice. Just like you can impeach a president, you can impeach. There are a lot of people you can impeach. And we're not paying attention to that. Most people don't even know that, but we can talk about that when we go through the Constitution, if people are still interested in this content, which I feel like it would be worthwhile to continue with, just because, you know, we did it a long time ago, but we can put it in current context even better now, I think. The next one, he has created a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. What does that sound like?
The IRS?
Every bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Every bureaucracy. You know, Department of Education, EPA, HHS, Health and Human Services, HUD, all of me, ridiculous levels of bureaucracy, every one of them spewing out regulations that we don't even, there's no way for us to even keep up with them, let alone know how to interpret them or comply with them.
And you said eating out their substance. What is going on with these health departments and our small businesses? They're taking away the substance of people's livelihoods there.
Well, and every time they issue a regulation, let's face it, it costs money. Time is money, and in medicine and in many industries, you have like a multitude of people hired to do nothing but look for regulations, because you have to look for them. Look for regulations, interpret regulations, enact legislation or enact policies to abide by these regulations, which are not law. They are regulation with the force of law. So essentially they are legislators. They pass more laws than any legislature ever does.
And they're not accountable to the people.
Unelected bureaucrats. And they can throw you in jail. They can fine you. They can put you out of business, take away your licenses, ruin your life. Why we have allowed this to happen is it's astounding. It's astounding. Everybody should be absolutely astounded. These are not laws. They are rules and regulations with the force of law being passed by people who are not elected by us to make laws. Was like an epiphany to me when I didn't know. And this was probably 10 years ago. And I asked somebody, how can they do these laws? He says, get over it. This isn't a law. It's a rule and regulation with a force law. This should absolutely infuriate every single American, and we have to do something about it.
And when we say what we have to do something about it, I've been thinking about what do we do? And we need to hold these elected representatives accountable. But one of the first things that we've seen is that there is election fraud, election irregularities, mail-in voting. We need to get back to voting in person or getting a requesting a absentee ballot get away from this mail-in voting, as well as we're hearing rumblings about electronic voting. You thought mail-in voting was bad, electronic would be really bad. So we need to get back to voter integrity, election integrity, Jill, is one of the first things. And so we need to be getting to know our county clerk and recorders really well.
How about getting to be our county clerk and recorder?
There you go.
I think we should go back to the old-fashioned system of standing in line and casting the vote.
Me too.
Pull those old beat-up machines out of the attic, where you flip the little switch, chunk, chunk, chunk. You know, there this. But unless we can have election integrity, we have nothing.
Right.
And we said this many times, folks. We have nothing. That's when it becomes desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to get to the point of desperation. But we also, if we are going to govern ourselves, we have got to pull together. We're not going to achieve it with conservative versus liberal. There are a lot of things we can agree on, and we need to start approaching people in that way, very kindly, calmly. Next, he has among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. Well, I guess yesterday was about the best example of some of that.
That was Inauguration Day.
Yeah.
Look at Washington, yeah. D.C. Mm-hmm.
Coded. Of course, they were the only people who actually attended the ceremony except for politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of...
4 years ago, I was at the inauguration, and it was a sea of people from all over the country there. What a stark contrast to what happened at Joe Biden's inauguration.
Right. And then I watched the whole thing, like 4 hours, whatever it was. And it actually started early, it seemed like. It seemed like it started early. Anyway, which is very odd. Didn't start when I thought it was supposed to start at 10 sharp, and he was already speaking when I tuned in at 10 sharp. Anyway, I was fascinated that along the route, not just in the mall, but past the mall at Arlington, so there weren't people lining the streets at all. I didn't see a single Biden sign, nothing. Did you notice that the signs for Biden and Harris, as they were pulling up to the Capitol, you know, they had the barricades along the side of the street, had, you know, big placards, and it said Biden Harris, but the background was yellow. And then they had signs in between those that were navy blue with red stripes and three white stars in the middle, but the stars looked like they were yellow. I was watching this live. I'm like, what's with the yellow?
Yeah, that's not an American color.
If somebody has a reason for that, or because I was watching it live stream on YouTube, so I don't know what that was about. I'd love to hear it. But it was just very strange. Nobody was cheering, lining the road. Now, if he got 80 million votes, where was everybody? I mean, sure, there's National Guard, but he went up and shook a couple people's hands at some point while he was on his way to the White House, to walk into the White House. It's like, okay, so what? Whoa, who's that then? Was it a reporter? I mean, whose hand are you shaking? They made it look like it was some, I don't know. Anyway.
That is fascinating. I hadn't thought about that. That is fascinating, Jill.
I'd like to go back and watch more of it to catch the little things,
mm-hmm.
the side stuff that's very strange. Okay, we can keep going here?
Yep.
He has effect. We're not going to get through all of these. We can do the next one and just keep going if that's okay.
Sure.
If people want it, if your listeners want it, that'd be great. So just get some feedback. He has affected to render the military independent and superior to the civil power. I would say, yes, among the like Joint Chiefs of Staff, they are, once they get to that level, they are more politicians than soldiers. The intelligence community. Look at the CIA and the FBI and what we're finding out about them. What have we found out about them over the last 4 years? They are working against us. Absolutely against us. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdiction, to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. I'm going to talk about, right, that, well, number one, the Patriot Act, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, the Great Reset.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Reset, globalism, they are turning our sovereignty over to a global sovereignty that does not believe in our Constitution.
And Jill, just a note on the Patriot Act. When that was passed, deep down, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with this. It doesn't seem constitutional to me, government spying on individuals. But okay, in for national security, okay. And that was a lesson to me that always, that bedrock is the Constitution, because they took the Patriot Act and they morphed it into something unbelievable.
Well, isn't that where the FISA courts were established, in the Patriot Act? And then and in no time at all, they're using those courts established, I'm pretty sure, under the Patriot Act to spy on a presidential opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It didn't take long, did it?
No.
For them to abuse that power. Not long at all. Just an agenda.
Yep. Okay, continue on.
Let's see. You tell me when we're out of time.
Okay.
Should we stop there?
No, I think let's go through just a few more. We've got maybe about 15 minutes, Jill.
Okay. Let's see here. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, and in that respect, they have cut off the ability for America to be competitive in a world market of trade. That's what the elites have done.
They've undercut the American worker
shipping,
while doing that. Yeah.
Exactly. Losing all our manufacturing, and Donald Trump brought back a bunch of manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
He did an amazing job. A lot of stuff we didn't even hear much about. Let's see, for imposing taxes on us without our consent. Hello. Yeah.
Taxes or
no
fees.
More consent on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What more? Yeah.
Well, at the time that they passed the Constitution, they didn't put income tax in there. They didn't put a national income tax on. You could be taxed for certain things, but there wasn't a blanket income tax.
Well, in the income
tax,
that
was a later amendment.
Let's think about that. Well, and that came in during Woodrow Wilson and the progressive amendments to the Constitution. But the American idea has always been that you work hard, you take risks. If you're successful, then you make more money, you have more wealth, which is a great thing. And then we come in these progressive amendments to the Constitution, and basically it says if you work hard and do well, we're going to penalize you by taking part of your income. It's just astounding to me. And as we look at that, and they said it's going to be this low amount. Well, guess what? Now it's we hear tax the rich, tax the rich. But when you tax the rich, you get fewer rich people. Instead of fewer rich people, let's have more rich people. And the way to do that is to lower taxes.
Also, what did the let's say the United States was really bankrupt at least a couple of times, essentially bankrupt. Many states, when the United States was first formed, many states were in bankruptcy from the Revolutionary War, and even before that, just from poor money management. So the United States did need income, but let's look at what they need income for. War is the biggest expense. So usually it was after the Civil War, after the Revolutionary War, wars were expensive. That put us way in debt. Now, there will always be evil in the world, period. There will always be evil. There will always be aggressors and people who need to defend themselves from aggressors. So you always have to, there will be some level of conflict that for which you must always be prepared, and that costs money.
A quick note on that, Jill. Donald Trump was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, I think, four times.
Four or maybe five, even.
Okay. He just just got an acknowledgement from Morocco for his work on peace. He was a president who started no new wars, and he brought troops home. And you just said one of the biggest expenses for countries normally is wars. Now, he did get our military back into shape so that we are prepared to protect ourselves, but he didn't start any new wars. And I want to make sure that people understand that.
Oh, very much. The reason, that's the reason that our government was bankrupt, was really kind of post-war stuff and the expenses from that. Otherwise, our government did okay paying its bills. Look what's happened since we got the income tax. The government has exploded. They just can't get enough. The more money everybody has in their budget, the more power they have. It's a power game. You can use the taxpayers' money to fund some project that will keep you in office, that will keep you voting for people. So in other words, they use our money to buy our votes. They use our money to put us into positions of servitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
They keep printing more money because they keep giving money away to foreign countries, mostly corrupt foreign countries. We talked about that at the second podcast and what may or may not be happening with that money. They also pass welfare. We're going to take care of you. All of these Social Security, Medicare, bankrupt programs that from which they've already stolen all the money that was in the trust fund. Mm-hmm. They've already used all that money. They have devalued the dollar so much by printing money for all of their social programs to keep them in power that all of us have to work two jobs. You know,
the job, our job, and then the job for the government to keep them going.
Exactly. I mean, when you, if you're working until what is the release date?
Well,
it's like end of April.
Yes,
you're working almost half of your time. Half of your energy, toil, knowledge, skills is sent to the government for them to waste it. It's alarming that we have allowed this to happen, that we have allowed this to progress.
But there is a great awakening that is occurring right now.
It's a great awakening. So, yes. And I'm not calling for armed conflict, but this is why we fight revolutions. And so let's call this a revival. How about that?
Let's do that.
Good old-fashioned. I was raised a Southern Baptist. Good old-fashioned revival. I've been saying it for years. What this country needs is a good old-fashioned revival. And I think we're getting it.
Yep.
Let's see. For depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. Wow, did we just see that last week?
Oh, my gosh. With Donald Trump?
They impeached Trump. They impeached Trump, the sitting president. He's almost out of office, for crying out loud. What's the big deal? They impeach him without even getting evidence on the actual event, let alone presenting any evidence. 2 hours of hearings in the House before they just plain vote to impeach.
Even if you don't like the guy, this should make everyday Americans quake in their boots that this happened. And once again, it's a parallel to what the colonists were concerned about when they were declaring their independence from King George. So, Jill, we probably have time for just a couple more. What other two? There's 27, I've counted anyway, 27 usurpations or 27 complaints. And there are many of them that run parallel to what is happening today. What's the last two that you'd like to hit?
How about this? For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government.
Mm.
And now one of the things that people don't know that you do know about is the regional governments.
Mm-hmm.
This was from Agenda 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
Regional governments. So I would say 99% of people have no idea that there are two sets of governments in operation right now. And you could talk better to that. The idea is that they have set up these regional governments in different areas of the country, one in Colorado, unelected, privately appointed, or whatever.
Now,
people that have significant authority.
Right. And what you're referring to is the Denver Regional Council of Governments. It's called Dr. Cog. They have a tremendous amount of power. And there are people that sit on it that may be elected representatives, but there's a lot of bureaucrats, but nobody on that board is elected to be on that board, which is very important to understand. The other thing, I had gone to one of those meetings, and I'd actually gone to several of their meetings, and they always put up something that seemed very dictatorial about this, was that it was kind of like, you can't talk about what happened here outside. We're going to come to consensus, and then that's the final decision. Consensus was never really the way America was founded. We always were kicking the can on these ideas, or not kicking the can, kicking the tires on these ideas. And then the idea that it comes to consensus, that's it. I felt very dictatorial. And so what you're describing is the Denver Regional Council of Governments, also known as Dr. Cog.
Who puts those people in offices, in their positions? Who's making those decisions?
Well, there is an administrative staff for Dr. Cog. They have an executive director, so there's staff that really pushes them.
Is there a person in Colorado that ultimately oversees them, that puts these people in whatever position they're in?
Well,
where's the starting? Is there a person or an entity?
Well, the entity would be, for example, the cities. They would appoint somebody, and it might be a representative. It might be somebody else. But then they pay dues. This is the thing about the left that's been so interesting is, our tax money is used to pay dues to a lot of these different organizations, which then funds leftist policies. So the city would pay dues, the county would pay dues to be part of Dr. Cog, which funds all the stuff that they're doing. Where over on the freedom side, you know, it's tough to rub two nickels together sometimes to get something done. But here you have taxpayer money being used to pay dues for these entities that are unaccountable to the people because they're not elected, but yet they're making big decisions about our lives.
Maybe we stop there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I'll make a little note here, and we can pick it up. But please give me feedback if folks are liking this content. Please let Kim know so that we know to keep going. I think it's definitely worth having the conversation.
I do hear from people that they really do appreciate this. And we will continue this conversation. But Jill, I think finish this up with the last part of the declaration, because we need to make sure we have that buttoned up.
Hold on to the very last part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
That, my friends, is the Declaration of Independence. Jill, what an important conversation. We'll continue on with this. This is Kim Munson. With Sounding Off with Kim Munson and Dr. Jill Vecchio. So appreciate you joining our podcast. Jill, thanks as always. Just really gets my brain thinking, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I think this is going to be good for all of us. I really enjoyed the first time we went through it, and it's time to do it again. This couldn't be more timely.
It is time to do it again, for sure. And the reason that we do this, Jill, is so that people can get their brain around these different issues. so that you can understand it yourself and then be able to converse, to have conversations and talk with your friends and your family and your colleagues about these important issues, because there is a great awakening that is occurring, and we want to make sure that we preserve this constitutional republic so that everyday people, no matter what the descriptor is, so that they can thrive and prosper. So my friends, thank you for joining us. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.